Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Colt Molesky, and I'm joined today from San Antonio, the host of the Locked On Spurs podcast, Jeff Garcia. Jeff, thanks for joining me.
Hey, not a problem, and welcome to the family here at the Locked On Podcast Network.
Thank you, thank you. I'm enjoying every podcast. It's been a lot of fun meeting all the other guys on the network and a lot of fun covering the Timberwolves.
Yeah, and gee, I wonder what we're going to be talking about today. I'm just going to take a wild guess. Halloween, maybe? The Christmas holidays?
Yeah, I wanted to know what you were going to dress up for Halloween. It's been eating a hole in my mind.
Everybody in the Locked On Podcast Network, including social media, know me that I may be an old man, but I am a huge nerd, so don't be surprised if I come out in some sort of Darth Vader or Stormtrooper costume for Halloween.
I love it. I love jumping into the season. But speaking of seasons, I think that we really should talk about the season opener 4 days away from basketball.
There's a certain game that's going to be kicking off in a few days, huh, in the Alamo City.
I think it's a pretty big game for at least for the Timberwolves, just as far as trying to gauge where they are as a team right away from the beginning of the season, too. I think it's going to be a real good test right away to open up the season for them, at least.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And then, look, I mean, it is opening night for both teams, Wolves, Spurs. You know, the Wolves are definitely a rising team in the West, let alone the NBA. The Spurs are still the Spurs, and they'll be Spurs until Popovich is gone and a whole new regime comes in. But until that day comes, you know, the Spurs are about to take their first steps in what would hopefully end up in an NBA title. And the same thing for the Timberwolves, too. But it seems to me, despite the fact that many look at the Spurs as an older team, if you really think about it, Colton, they're actually a team that got younger, and they're having a quiet youth movement right now.
Yeah, so tell me, if I'm a Minnesota fan who doesn't follow basketball super closely and I just see that Kawhi Leonard is going to be out for this game, tell me why I shouldn't underestimate this Greg Popovich. Because you and I know never underestimate Greg Popovich, right? But
yeah.
Tell the average Timberwolves fan why I can't go into this game thinking that the Wolves have it unlocked just because Kawhi Leonard is out.
Oh, well, look, they have an entire preseason slate of games under their belt without him. So right now, it's something they don't want to be accustomed to, is that without playing their megastar player on the floor. But nonetheless, they were still able to manage a 3-2 record in the preseason. I get it. It is the preseason, but nonetheless, it is a time for everybody to come together on the Spurs squad. Add the fact, too, that LaMarcus Aldridge has been on a tear this preseason. Look at the other game, which sealed the preseason slate of games for San Antonio versus Houston. He scored 20-plus points. He had 10-plus rebounds. He had 3 assists, he had 2 steals. I mean, he was just doing damage. It's not just simply that one game. He's been doing it pretty much for the entire preseason. Look, he had a heart-to-heart with Popovich in the offseason. They cleared the air. He admitted that he was frustrated last season, that he was having doubt if he could fit into the Spurs system. But it looks like they, being LaMarcus, the Spurs, and Popovich, the coaching staff, kind of taking the first steps in the right direction to cure what ails him. Now, look, LaMarcus was still fine nonetheless. He wasn't horrific as many people painted him out to be. He averaged about 17 points per game, close to 9 rebounds per game. He was shooting from deep 41%. He wasn't horrible. It's just the fact that he didn't step up at the right time. I've been asked this many times in the offseason, what happened? What happened to LaMarcus? It was just this entire storm that came together the wrong time. He had the entire team focus on Kawhi Leonard, then we know what happened. Ja happened. Okay, and then you're looking at LaMarcus like, okay, you know, you're time for you to shine. And he's like, whoa, hold on. The entire season has been overall Kawhi, and okay, fine, let me just get adjusted to this. You know, he just couldn't. It was in the heat of battle, the West Finals. You know, you didn't have Tony Parker there. He already was out when his leg literally blew up and was out for the entire season. So, yeah, you're going to throw him into the pit like that. And, okay, fine. Yeah, there is something too in the sense that, well, he's a veteran. He's an all-star. He's been there. He's done that. But nonetheless, you know, it just was a bad storm, and it collided, and it just blew up. And hopefully this new season will be great. Also, another reason why your listeners and the T-Wolves fans shouldn't count out the Spurs is simply this. They have gotten younger. They're not the old man Spurs anymore. Tim Duncan is retired. Tony Parker is not coming back till later. And Manu Ginobili is still Manu-esque at times. But nonetheless, they have an array of great players that they brought in. Perhaps the big name is Rudy Gay. Yes, I get it. Rudy Gay, busted Achilles. You know, we'll wait and see approach. But he's been all right so far in the preseason. 14 points versus the Houston Rockets in Houston. And he's been looking pretty well right before the preseason ended. You also throw in the mix that DeJounte Murray, a long, athletic, young guy. He can get to the rim. He can slash. He can pass. He'll present some problems. And let's face it, too, this is a Spurs team that even though brought in new pieces, they still have familiar faces on there. Danny Green is still there. Patty Mills is still there. Kawhi Leonard, we don't know if he's going to come back, but if he does, you know, he'll be there. Doubtful as is this moment. LaMarcus Aldridge has a third year under his belt. You had off the bench, as I mentioned, Manu Ginobili. You got Pop patrolling the sidelines. So they have a good mix of guys who've been there and done that and guys that are coming in to their own as we speak. Murray, Kyle Anderson, you know, rookie Derek White. It should be a great time, but again, the turnover wasn't completely an overhaul in the offseason. As for your Wolves, it looks like they almost got a brand new team heading into the new season.
Yeah, they really are one of the premier teams as far as offseason storylines, just because of all the turnover and the difference that they've brought in, and the young guys that they're going to keep around, obviously with Wiggins signing that big extension. So they're building towards the future and trying to make a team that's really good right now. I think one of the things I was looking at when I'm kind of previewing this game is if Kawhi Leonard's out, LaMarcus Aldridge, you kind of think he's going to be one of those primary scorers, kind of one of the main guys that run the offense through for a majority of the game. So that creates a really good matchup potentially between Karl-Anthony Towns and LaMarcus Aldridge in the paint. If that's the battle that goes down for most of the game, who do you see winning that one? Or who do you see getting a little bit of an edge in that battle? Because LaMarcus Aldridge, he's the vet. He's the one who has the moves down. He knows what he's going to go to beat a younger guy. But Towns is the young, athletic guy who's got all the raw talent to maybe have a breakout year this year.
Yeah, I'm going to go with your guy, Cat. You know,
that's what I like to hear.
I mean, you look at what he did last season alone, 25 points per game off 54% shooting, 12.3 rebounds, 2.7 assists. Not to knock LaMarcus Aldridge. I like what he's been doing in the preseason. I like his fresh mind state heading into the new season. However, I mean, Cat is just on a different platform right now. I wouldn't be surprised if he's tossed into the MVP discussion at one point during the regular season. The kid is just he's just good. I mean, there's no way around it. Now, I'm not to sit here and say that if this is a prize fighter, you know, fight in the octagon, you know, they're not going to go the distance. Yeah, it's going to be a nice slugfest. But at the end of the day, you know, Anthony Towns just has an array of moves in the post. He's younger, he's quicker, you know, for his size. He's fairly athletic. LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, what he's going to have to do is just be that veteran, get still teach the kid some tricks of the trade and try to muscle his way into the paint. But that's the thing, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, he has a back-to-the-basket game, but not to the point of Cat. LaMarcus is known for that double dribble into the back, into the paint, and then turn around with a Dirk-like fadeaway shot. But, I mean, I expect that is going to be the key matchup for the opening night game. It's too bad that we don't know Kawhi's playing, because that Butler v. Leonard would be pretty sweet too.
Yeah, that would be, that's really the matchup that we're robbed of, right? Is the Jimmy Butler, the new guy who's supposed to improve the defense of the Wolves and make this more of a defensive-minded team against Kawhi Leonard, who's already that defensive guru of a player, and he has the offense to match it. So he's a really good, versatile two-way player. That's the matchup you really want to see. But since he's out, who do you think that Jimmy Butler will be given the most problems to, or who do you think on the Spurs will give the most problems to Jimmy Butler on defense when he's trying to score?
I think a guy like Danny Green more than likely will get the defensive nod on him. And, you know, don't turn your nose up at Danny Green on the defensive end. You know, he did win an award last season. He was named to the All-NBA Defensive Second Team, an honor that was a long time coming. But where Danny Green is going to just have to do his best is on the defensive end. Not to say that he cannot do anything on the offensive end to give Jimmy Butler some fits. You know, Danny Green can knock down the three. Over the offseason, he's been working on his mid-range game. Hopefully that will come into play. But I think that's what you're going to see, you know, a Green-Butler type matchup. And hopefully Danny can do his best. Now, look, Danny, he's usually, you know, the 1B when it comes to perimeter defense. Obviously, number one in my argument overall in the NBA is Kawhi Leonard on the perimeter. I mean, not to say that Jimmy Butler isn't a good defender. He is, but, you know, Danny Green will give him fits on the defensive end. You know, hopefully Green will keep him honest by knocking down the occasional three and just being a pass with him, make him work, make Butler work for every shot, and make him fight through screens and body him up and get him a little bit tired, considering, you know, hey, you know, the preseason is shorter this season. You know, for both teams, they lost a couple of extra games where they could have fine-tuned some things. So hopefully, you know, everybody will be in game shape. So, you know, there's just so much going in. But, yeah, Danny Green definitely on Jimmy Butler is what you're going to see in San Antonio.
And with these big-name players going in, it's easy to forget some of the other kind of the guys who will clean up and do the little things. I think one of the big players for the Timberwolves that will make a really big difference at the end of the day is a guy like Jeff Teague, who's going to maybe change the pace up against the Spurs, and he's going to do a bunch of things off the ball that are really going to hurt the Spurs defensively. And he's got so many shots that he has in his toolbox that he can go to where he doesn't have to take like an outside shot to be effective or has to drive to the basket. He can be everywhere on the floor and doesn't have to have the ball in his hands. How do the Spurs, with these young guys, how do they defend a guy like Teague, who's going to kind of just run all over the place and in transition, doesn't have to have the ball in his hands to be a really effective scorer?
Hey, this might maybe by committee. I could see that. I mean, obviously, Murray likely will get the nod at the starting point guard spot. You know, Jeff Teague, you know, look what he did last year, 15.3 points per game, off 44% shooting, 4 rebounds, close to 8 assists a game. And, you know, that's awesome from Teague. Murray, you know, he's going to be looking at a tall task ahead of him, you know, with Teague right in front of him in his jersey on the off and the defensive end and the offensive end. You know, he's going to try to slow down Murray. But, hey, look, the Spurs do have weapons to try to slow down Teague if he starts getting out of hand. You know, they got a big a guard, if you will, kind of a tweener. You know, I mentioned Kyle Anderson. You know, he can come in and spell Murray if Murray's getting torched. Look, Teague, his horse you can throw in there. All the other elite NBA point guards are going to really go at the young guy this season. And it's unfortunate because, you know, this career was trial by fire, and he's going to get his first taste versus Teague. Yeah, but, I mean, this is a situation, too, where I think it can go both ways in the sense of, okay, fine, you know, if that's the issue, then you got Patty Mills coming off the bench, and Patty Mills is a spark plug. He's firepower. And if his shot is going down, and this preseason he's been looking really good, averaging close to 15 points per game, you know, that'll keep Jeff Teague honest. Of course, there's a wily veteran, Manu Ginobili. You know, he's going to give you, you know, wouldn't be surprised if you see some Manu magic on occasion Wednesday night in San Antonio. But overall, you know, this is a situation where I've been pretty much saying the entire season, off season, I'm heading into the new season, is this. If there's Achilles heel right now, no, I'm not going to try to jinx Rudy Gay right now. But if there's an Achilles heel with the Spurs right now, it's the point guard spot. Even if Tony Parker was coming in healthy and didn't have his leg blow up and need surgery, this is still a position that I think this is the Spurs' weak spot. Okay, Parker's out. We know that. You got a sophomore 21-year-old kid who's being tossed into the fire right now. And, oh, and by the way, has been dealing with injuries in the off-season. Even in training camp, he was dealing with injuries. Even before training camp, he was having an injury. What it was never disclosed. So all we know is that the Spurs players were saying that, you know, he was banged up. He signed that he didn't play a couple games in training camp and whatnot. Okay, then you come in with Patty Mills. Nothing to go against Patty Mills, but he's known for an offensive kind of guy, not really known for defense. You got an aging Monta Ginobili. You have a rookie Derek White. You have a Brendan Paul, you know, who is brand new to the Spurs system, let alone the NBA. He played overseas last year, and they picked him up in the 2017 Summer League. So this is a situation where if any team, whether it be the Wolves, the Bucks, the Celtics, the Thunder, who you name it, you attack that point guard spot as best you can and try to exploit San Antonio. You dare DeJounte Murray to shoot. You dare Patty Mills to try to stop your number one player, in this case on the perimeter, that is, and the point guard Jeff Teague, you know, and the list goes on and on. So if you're going to attack a Spurs team, it's at that guard position. Just shoot and penetrate and disrupt their defense. But that's the thing. The Spurs do have relics on their roster that are still effective. Relics, but I mean in the sense of it's the mega super small ball NBA that we're entering right now. The Spurs still have those big burly guys. We even know about LaMarcus Aldridge. Don't forget a guy, and you know I've been getting a lot of slack for this, but I think this guy's going to be a little small gem for San Antonio. Joffrey LaVerne. This is a guy.
Remember that name, that, people.
Yeah. He can do the little things that can be the difference in a W and an L. And what I mean by that is heavy, solid, manly screens, rebounding, getting the occasional three-point shot. He knows his role. So I wouldn't be surprised if come game one that maybe we see maybe LaMarcus Aldridge not try to check Cat and they throw LaVerne at him or Pau Gasol or something like that, you know, just to try to mix up Carl Anthony's looks in the paint. But on the defensive end for the Spurs and offensive end for Minnesota. So, yeah, I mean, this Spurs team, you know, on paper, if you look at them on paper, you're like, okay, what's the deal? You know, they don't have Tony Parker. They may not have Kawhi Leonard. They got a LaMarcus Aldridge who looks okay in the preseason, but, you know, I'm going to see what he does in the real season. Oh, and by the way, they have a 20-year-old starting point guard. I mean, you're going to be feasting. There's sharks in the pool. But this is still the Spurs. They'll find a way to beat you. They proved that in the last game against Houston. Yes, CP3 wasn't playing, but James Harden was playing. They had 99.9% of their roster out there, and the Spurs still slowed them down. They held them under 100 points. They scored over 100 points. I don't get this team. They're if it's right on the Halloween spirit, and it is the month, they're Jason. I swear to God, they're Jason. Michael Myers. They just won't die. And no matter what, you can throw a machete at Michael Myers, you can chop off Freddy or Krueger's arm and they'll just smile and be like, okay, we're coming back at you. And that's what the Spurs are. I mean, they're just this beast that just won't go away. I'm a Spurs guy, a Spurs reporter, I love it. But when I take a step back and I take off my media hat, I'm like, holy moly, this team is good. I mean, you could probably throw in there Aaron Brooks or something or Chewbacca in there, and he'll freaking do a double-double on any team.
Well, it's kind of like you have in football the Patriots with Bill Belichick, and you have Popovich in basketball. Those are the two guys where if you're looking at their roster, you never can underestimate them, even if you're looking at the guys and saying, who is this guy? What can he really do for the team? But you can never underestimate these guys because they're just going to find what these players do really well, and they're going to put them in a really good spot to succeed. And so that's why when you're approaching a Spurs team, you're saying, oh, well, they have Kawhi Leonard's out and they're struggling. LaMarcus Aldridge was having his problems last year. So basically those are their two superstars. Nope, you don't want to take it at face value.
Yeah, and then look at this too. I mean, history's on the Spurs side. They won 11 straight against Minnesota. I know so that's good. They won 7 in a row in San Antonio since April 17, 2013.
It's a tough place to play on the road.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a tough place for Minnesota. Last year they were 0-4 versus the Spurs. So I like history. So when I look at it, I'm like, okay, that's great. You know, yeah, maybe on paper, as I mentioned, you know, all the negatives about the Spurs, but they still win. I mean, look at LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, he's going to be the focal point right now until Kawhi comes back, and that's just the way it is. Not to say that he's lost a step or anything. No, he's still quite effective. My co-host on Lockdown Spurs, Mr. Jose Grijalva, he's been saying this, and I think I'm starting to believe him. You're about to see the rise of this 2014 Spurs championship team, that beautiful game, that passing selfishness, no selfishness, beautiful game that dismantled the Miami Heat when they had Wade and James and Bosch and so on and so forth. You might start seeing that this coming season. Look, the Spurs whiffed. They whiffed on CP3. They were gunning for him. They whiffed on it. Kyrie Irving supposedly, reportedly wanted to come to San Antonio. That didn't happen. They ended up getting a guy who only played 30 games last year because his Achilles heels ruptured. I mean, that was their big signing this offseason. That was it. Rudy Gay. I'm hoping he goes back to the Rudy Gay we saw in Minnesota and in Sacramento before the injury, but you're just putting your hopes up. And that's the thing with the Spurs. I think you're going into a new season with a lot of question marks early. Can Rudy Gay be the Rudy Gay we saw pre-Achilles heel injury? Will Tony Parker come back and be the same Tony Parker we saw late in last season in the postseason when he was torching teams in the playoffs? He was arguably the second best player for the Spurs last year in the playoffs. That's how good he got. He had a resurrection. Okay. Does Monta Ginobili have anything left in the tank? Now you have to throw another question mark. How bad is Kawhi hurt, or is he just popping, keeping things close to the vest and not to reveal anything to Minnesota, you know, so they can't game plan for that. And by the way, all that veteran presence they have on the roster. Okay, DeJounte Murray, you need to now lead this team. Okay, good luck. So there's a lot of questions surrounding the Spurs. With Minnesota, I think what you see is what you get. You got yourself a solid young team. They're entering, or they're about to enter their prime, or they're in the middle of it, like Jimmy Butler. They're rejuvenated. They got players that already are considered, you know, they're veterans of the game. Andrew Wiggins. I think Andrew Wiggins still is a kid still, but I keep on forgetting he's not. He's been in the league for a while now. Taj Gibson, Cat, Jimmy Butler, Jeff Teague. That's a great starting five. So that's when I look at Minnesota, I'm like, great. I like what they got. And they're healthy, and they're raring to go. And by the way, all their starters, the projected starters for the new season, all averaged double-digit scoring last season. That's insane. That's good. I mean, look at Andrew Wiggins, they averaged close to 24 points. Gibson, about 11 points. Cat, 25 points. Butler, 24 points. T, 15 points. That's a lot of firepower in your starting lineup. Now, obviously, they got to make it work. They got to make it come together, and I think they will. But I would not be surprised if come Wednesday, though, the Spurs will still figure out a way to win, just because I think Minnesota needs more time to gel, and Popovich and the system that the Spurs run can win them games until the players get accustomed to each other.
Well, that's the thing, too, is that in such a stacked Western Conference, obviously you expect a little bit of a gelling period for the Timberwolves, and you're talking about those Spurs question marks. They have a stronger system to lean on there, but you still have some question marks to work out. But even if you're looking at just taking a month to try and figure this stuff out, you really don't want to take too much time, because the more games you drop, the harder and the deeper the hole that you're digging for yourself. Because to get a playoff in this Western Conference, like a playoff spot, is going to be very, very hard. And so even though it's an 82-game season, you're still thinking about the entire length of the season and saying, wow, you can't drop any really weak stretches without having to think, is that going to bite us in February and at the end of the season?
Yeah, it goes both ways, too. You know, the Spurs, you know, think about this, you know, for Minnesota listeners and Spurs listeners right now. If either team even sniffs a 2 or 3 game losing streak at one point, that could be detrimental. I mean, pre-Western Conference summer and everybody invading the West, you can probably survive a 2 or 3 game skid. You know, not a problem. But I mean, two or three losses here and there in a row could mean that their team might be a 2 seed to a 5 seed. Is that insane in the West?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So you definitely, even though you don't want to jump on the team too early for maybe a slip-up, you really can't have too many mistakes throughout the course of this season. Before I let you go here, I wanted you to give me an MVP for this game from the San Antonio Spurs. Who's going to be the best guy, the best-looking player in this game against the Timberwolves in the opener?
That is a great question. You know, I got two right off the bat, but I'm actually going to like go on a limb, and I'm going to say DeJounte Murray. I think Murray is going to rise to the occasion. And just simply because I think the game on Wednesday could lend to his talents, I'm taking a very educated guess here, and you can correct me. I'm assuming Tibbs and the crew out there in Minnesota, they want to have a little bit more of a free flow up and down game.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, the only reason I question is because I see Cat, and I think, well, you know, I don't know if they're going to run ISO and run plays for him in the post. But yeah, I think the style of game and is going to lend to DeJounte Murray's talents. You're going to see him running up and down the court, and I think he'll end up looking good for San Antonio. I have a question for you, though, for the Locked On Spurs listeners, though. When you're looking at this Spurs team, and you're an outsider, you're looking in, do you look at, are you taking the approach of, well, I mean, look at them, you know, they're busted up, or, you know, they're not coming in 100%, or is it a situation where outsiders like yourself look at the San Antonio Spurs and thinking, you know what, they can trot out there, Ronald McDonald, Darth Vader, the Stormtrooper, and Popovich on the sideline, they're probably going to win.
And you, Jeff, would be dressed as the Darth Vader, of course.
Exactly. But,
no, I always approach a San Antonio game very cautiously. I'm always worried about Popovich, and I know that he's going to be game planning really well and preparing his guys in the best way that any team is going to be prepared to go into a game and to be ready for what Minnesota does really well and to be attacking what they do really poorly. So I think a guy like Jimmy Butler has to be the guy who steps up and makes the initiative to pass the ball, because I think the trap here for Minnesota early on will be to play isolation basketball. With, you talked about, all these guys are really good at scoring, and you don't want to get stuck with a couple guys playing isolation basketball, because I think that's what San Antonio, that's what Popovich wants, is for them not to pass the ball, for them not to really stretch out the defense. And so it's on Jimmy Butler as the leader of this team to stretch the floor, pass the ball around, get a bunch of guys making plays to really force the defense to choose a couple guys and then attack them with another guy.
Yeah, exactly. And who do you have as your MVP coming out of this game Wednesday night?
I have Wiggins. I think that early on, you got to show that you're worth the money, and you got to show that you've been making a little bit of a stride defensively. Obviously, he's averaged 23 points a game last season, almost 24. But defensively, he needs some work. So if he comes out here and he's taking the second or third best guy on San Antonio and has to guard him, if you can do a really good job on your defensive assignments and really play tight defense and maybe get some turnovers, and then on the offensive side, I think he's just a natural scorer. He's going to be the guy who is doing a great job on the pick and pop, on coming off of screens and driving to the basket, or standing on the three-point line. I think he's going to knock down a lot of shots in this game. So defensively, I want to see him step up and show that he can be the second-best defender on this team.
Oh, yeah. I think, and for Minnesota, you know, if I'm looking at this team with just being with the blinds on it, on my eyes, I'm thinking, hey, you know what, if there's a time to hit San Antonio in the mouth, it'd be now, simply because they're coming in banged up. No Leonard, as of right now, no Leonard is questionable, and no Parker is not going to be there. And they're, for lack of a better word, they're vulnerable right now, Colton.
Absolutely. This is definitely the time you want to, if it holds up and Leonard actually is out for this game, this is definitely the time you want to go and grab a win, just for confidence too. For this is still a pretty young team, the Timberwolves are, so if you can go into San Antonio and get a win in your opener, that's just going to really help as far as the growth process of this team as well, just getting everybody on the same page and showing, hey, this is working. We're not just doing this in practice. This is working for us, and just building that confidence right out the gate, because they got a tough slate of games in the first few weeks too. They're playing Oklahoma City, and they're playing the Jazz, who I think are going to be a good team as well, who have some really good young players. So they've got to come out and get a win real quickly here to build confidence for this young squad.
Yeah. It's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be exciting. I don't see this as a game where either team is going to just blow each other out of the water. I mean, they'll go on their runs. You'll see the occasional 7-8 point lead on either side of the court for either team. But I think this team, the Spurs, they got something to prove. The Minnesota roster, they definitely got something to prove. And hey, this can work, with all these young guys here. And wouldn't be surprised if this thing comes to the wire. But the Spurs are pretty much going to kick y'all's butt. So get ready for that loss, sir.
I believe in Thibodeau, and I believe in Towns. Let's go,
don't
Wolves.
Don't forget Thibodeau is a Spurs disciple.
Yeah, so hopefully it pays off, and he can finally become the master. Hopefully.
Oh, I like where you went there. That's the perfect way to end this part right there. That was the
exactly.
Best way. You just nailed it right there.
I got to throw that in a couple times. Anything you want to plug before we leave? Any articles or any shows that you want to plug here?
Yeah, definitely. For those of y'all who are interested in the Spurs, you can follow me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. I am the Spurs lead beat writer for News 4 San Antonio and Fox 29 SanAntonio.com. A couple of NBC Fox affiliates in the Alamo City. You can also read my work at News4SanAntonio.com. That's where it's mainly posted. And of course, Locked On Spurs. Follow me and listen to all the shows on Locked On Spurs. It's me and a couple other guys, a couple of the knuckleheads, I call them. I don't know why I brought them on, Carl Colton. Don't ever do that. but no, Jose Grijalva and Ryan McCallum, they're the co-hosts, and once in a while I give them the reins, and they have some fun with the Spurs. So it's a good time to be an NBA fan in general, whether it's a Minnesota Wolves fan or a San Antonio Spurs fan. The NBA season is here. It's finally here, and I cannot wait. So, and by the way, again, welcome to the network, Colton.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be a part of it. I'm so happy that basketball is 4 days away. I cannot wait for the opener for the Timberwolves and San Antonio, the Spurs. Thank you very much, Jeff Garcia, for coming on the show. Everybody go check out his stuff. Check out the writing he's doing. Check out his shows to get ready for the season. Go on Zone Coverage to get your Timberwolves updates and your Timberwolves writing. Make sure you're ready for the game just like the players are. He's Jeff Garcia. I'm Colton Molesky, your host, and this has been another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.